Good morning, and welcome to our next message in the series entitled Defining Definitive Definitions. This morning we look at what is spiritual warfare. You say, Pastor Jeff, that's a pretty intense way to start a Sunday morning in church. Where are the donuts and coffee, man? This is what needs to be understood more than people getting Danish and donuts. You see, I ask you up front, what do you think of when I say the term spiritual warfare? And we're going to talk about it this morning. We're going to look at what the Bible has to say. And I'm going to bring you on an emotional roller coaster that is rooted in truth and love. Because when it comes to spiritual warfare, the world tends to split in two opposite directions, both of which are dangerously wrong. When you say spiritual warfare, typically what is thought of is either that's a bunch of hogwash, that's from a long time ago, that stuff's not real, get it away from me, superstition, that's all it is. And that's wrong. You will see that our Bible tells us, and Jesus' ministry showed us, that spiritual warfare is real, and he told us to get ready. On the other hand, you'll have others that will err on the other extreme and will put so much emphasis on Satan and demons and the warfare that they get caught up in a bunch of emotional, hyper, just wrong stuff. If you've been around people who can't talk to you without talking about the demon of X and the demon of Y and all of this, they've missed the point. And so what we need to understand is, what does the Bible say? Not to put our head in the sand, nor to run and hide and give too much credit, but to understand that we are at war. If you are a believer, you are at war and you've been called to go on offense. If you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you say, one of the reasons why I don't is because I don't want to get into all this war and battle, let me let you in on a little secret. It doesn't matter if you want to come in. If you don't realize that this war is going on, it's only because you're already a prisoner of war. And if you're a Christian who says, oh, I do, I understand, I know, but I don't want to get messy, I want you to know that if you're a believer who likes hanging out in the bunker, there's probably a problem. And as we've seen in looking at God's Word, if you're too comfortable there, you may not be who you think you are. You may be in the wrong bunker. You may be in a very nicely decorated prisoner of war camp. You say, Pastor Jeff, you know, this is the kind of stuff that makes me uncomfortable. And this is why I would much rather go to a church where everybody just kind of shakes your hand. Somebody tells me a nice story, wraps it in a couple of verses that I know came from the Bible. Of course, I have no understanding of how it applies to everyday life. And I certainly don't want it to get messy. And I don't want to have me have to get messy. So, you know, God's Word makes it clear that this is real. We're to understand it. And as most people hear spiritual warfare, you immediately assume the mental posture of an attack. Think about it. Close your eyes. And when I say spiritual warfare, tell me if you don't find yourself in some kind of a defensive posture. That's where most people think, if they'll embrace it at all. Well, I want to share God's Word with you this morning, and I pray we walk out of this place different than how we walked in, forevermore changed. In some ways, to be made aware, but in more ways to be made strong, that we will leave here on our way to being discipled warriors for Christ. Now let me just make sure that we do this in concert with God's Word so that you don't ever walk out thinking you've heard the opinion of a Baptist preacher. God's Word tells us this in 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world, that's Satan, he goes by that name in the Bible. The God of this world has blinded the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. One of the first things you have to understand is if you say, I don't buy this, I say, yeah, I understand, you're a prisoner. The enemy has blinded you. Say, no, he hasn't. I see just fine. That's part of the problem. When you think you're fine and you're not, you're worse than somebody who recognizes they're sick and needs help. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be self-controlled and alert. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, there's no ambiguity there. You can't, well, it's not really that bad. You know, I don't think it's really a war. Come on. You know, okay, so they see things a little differently. It's not like we can't coexist. Let me tell you something. We're called to coexist here. We're just not called to believe and buy into what everybody else says. And we will not coexist in eternity. God's word makes it painfully clear that this war is real. It happens primarily over the issues of truth and love. We're going to walk through this in a little bit. But first, I want to start right off by telling you the timing of God and how he has brought this message to us in this series at this time is no mistake, as I will share with you later. It's just one day in the life of somebody walking through this reality. But let me tell you this, our community has grieved this week, as we lost a young man, a 15-year-old. And I ask you now, do you think it's important that that young man was told the truth? Do you think it's important which church he attended, whether it was a Jehovah's Witness church, a Mormon church, a Buddhist temple, a Catholic church? Do you think it's important now that he's gone? Do you think it's important when people come to the gate of eternity, which door through which they come? I tell you, it is deadly serious. It is eternally important. Sometimes we talk about things getting a little intense. If you spend any time on the real battlefield, you can't not be intense. I guarantee you there are no World War II veterans who stormed the gates and the beaches of Normandy who would feel comfortable getting behind some control, playing some video game of blood and gut shooting up. If you can, it's only because you haven't really been there. There's nobody with a good heart who could play the game of war who's lived through it. And I tell you, sadly, we have way too many Christians playing the game of warfare. They talk the talk, but they've not been there. Nobody's gotten bloody and messy because they hang out back in the bunker. Real warfare is real messy, and it's eternally important. I'm going to show you something right now that was prepared before the events of this week. You'll understand why I tell you that in a minute. But I also want you to hear that because I want you to know that you're hearing from God. And I want you to listen, as uncomfortable as it will be, to what is to follow when we talk about the severity and the reality of spiritual warfare. I want you to hear what a letter potentially written from hell might sound like.
What if? What if you had a friend who died without knowing Jesus as their personal Savior? What if he or she went to hell? What if one day you received a letter in the mail from beyond? A letter from hell. A letter from your friend in the flames of eternal torment. The following is a dramatic presentation. It was written by a fictitious high school student named Josh to a friend named Zach. Although Zach had every opportunity to tell Josh about Jesus, he didn't. They were best friends. They played soccer together, they went to classes together, they partied together, they shared their lives with each other. But there was one thing Zach held back from Josh: his personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The rest of the story is simple and sad. A few too many beers, a tragic drive home, a crash, a death, a funeral, its entirety. A letter from hell. Dear Zach,
I died today. It's a lot different than I expected. You see, I always thought dying would bring me into a world that's foggy and hazy. But this place is crystal clear. It's even more real than my life on Earth. I can think. I can talk. I can even feel. Right after the wreck, I could feel my spirit leaving my body. It was the weirdest thing, Zach. I thought I heard you screaming out to me, man. I must have been just imagining things. At first, I was just standing in line, getting registered, I guess. They asked me for my name and began to look in this thing they called the Book of Life. I guess they couldn't find it, though, because this huge angel standing next to me grabbed me by the arm and started dragging me away. I was terrified. I had no idea what was going on. I asked the angel where he was taking me, but he didn't answer. So I asked him again. Finally, he told me that only those whose names were written in the Book of Life could enter into heaven. And the rest would be condemned to hell forever. Man, I was scared. The angel threw me into some kind of holding cell where I've been sitting and thinking for a long, long time. Do you want to know what I've been thinking about? I've been thinking about you. Zach, you're a Christian. You told me so yourself. I mean, we talked about it 3 different times today. Kelly brought it up, and you laughed it off. Coach Adams brought it up, and you changed the subject. I mean, it came up right before the wreck. Well, the question I can't get out of my mind is this, Zach. Why haven't you ever told me about how to become a Christian? I mean, you say you're my friend, but if you really were, you would have told me about this Jesus and told me how to escape this terrible place that I'm headed for. I can feel my heart pounding in my chest. The angels who have been chosen to cast me into hell are coming down the hallway. I can hear their footsteps. I've heard of this hell, Zach. They call it the Lake of Fire. I can't stand it, Zach. I'm terrified. No, the angels are at the door. Oh, no. No! They're coming in, and they're pointing at me. They're grabbing me and carrying me out of the room. I can already smell the burning sulfur and brimstone. I can see the edge of the cliff where hell burns. This is it. I am without hope. We're coming closer, closer, closer. My heart is bursting with fear. They're holding me over the flames. I'm damned forever. This is it. They have thrown me in. Fire. Pain. Hell. Why, Zach? Why didn't you ever tell me about Jesus? Jesus. Signed.
Signed. Signed.
Your friend. Josh.
Your friend.
P.S.
Welcome.
Wish you were here. 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 Wish you were here.
This is why we take spiritual warfare seriously. It's not a church thing. It's a reality thing. It's not a Sunday thing. It's an eternal truth. There will only be 2 eternal destinations. And what happens here and now will determine where that eternity is spent for each and every one. And as we see in times like this week, as we saw just 6 weeks ago, as we lost a close personal friend unexpectedly, nobody knows when the finish line will come. But you've got to be ready. And this is not something that you can say, I will do at the end of summer. I'll take care of this after the new year. I'll get on that. I'm warming up. There is a finality to this truth. And the devil does not want you to believe it. I told you, and I asked you to pray for me as I prepared to preach, because the devil does not want this truth out. Listen, John 8:44 says, speaking to those who buy the lie of Satan, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Here's what I want you to walk away with today to understand. I cannot give this topic justice in one message. We will come back and we will do a series at one point on spiritual warfare. But I need you to walk away understanding a truth that will change the way you live. And it is simply this. God's truth and love is the bullseye at which Satan and all of his efforts are targeting. So anything that comes into your life or through your life or that you rub shoulders with that is designed to take you away from God's truth or to diminish God's truth or to somehow, some way stain God's truth in your life or through your life is some form of spiritual warfare. I want you to think of it this way. If you simply look at what we talked about last week, the purposes of the church, if you're familiar with your Bible, what God calls the fruit of the Spirit, what you will live like as a child of God, the promise of what has been deposited in you. And if you were to look at Matthew chapter 5, at what we call the Beatitudes, if you were to take those things, prayer, service, worship, outreach, relationships, vertical and horizontal, personal spiritual development, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, anything that comes into your life or through your life that in any way drags that down. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Jeff? What about the distractions to your prayer? Your prayer life. We have a prayer ministry that gets together every other Friday. Talk to me about what's on your schedule that Friday night that keeps you away from a corporate time of prayer. Whatever that is, there's a very good chance that that is a weapon in spiritual warfare. Let's talk about your heart to serve. Oh, I would love to serve, but you have no idea how busy I am. Your busyness is the fruit of spiritual warfare, anything that would keep you away from serving the Lord as He would call you to serve. Your worship. Okay, come on, let's go. I got to get the Cracker Barrel. Do we have to do 5 songs? My goodness. Your thinking that worship is songs and not a lifestyle. Your outreach, I'd love to reach out to that person, but they look awfully messy, and I've heard they've got a real bag of stuff. I'll go over here and talk to the person from the other church. Why not reach out to somebody that Christ would reach out to? How about relationships? Anything that keeps your relationship superficial? Are you accustomed to keeping people at arm's length? Well, I don't want to get transparent because then we go to a whole nother level, and I'm not ready for that. Anything that keeps your relationships superficial is a byproduct of spiritual warfare. Anything that allows you to sit and just be lazy and not grow spiritually. Oh, I'm good enough. I know the truth. I'll get to heaven. Spiritual warfare. Anything that would taint your love. Well, I like them a lot. I'm just not sure I love them. Anything that would steal your joy is a byproduct of spiritual warfare. Anything that would take your peace. You ever been in a place where you're busy doing God's work, but you don't have any peace? You say, how can this be? I'm in the midst of doing a ministry, and yet I have no peace. I have no joy. You're losing the battle of spiritual warfare. Because the enemy, be it through the world, the flesh, or the devil himself, or his minions, the demons, is trying to pull you away from God's standards, God's truth, God's love. And love, we see throughout the Bible, is in large part measured by obedience. So anytime you feel something drawing you away from being who God has called you to be, either in this moment or in the large part of your life, that is the byproduct of spiritual warfare. This is going on all around us all the time. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." Anything that is pulling you away from God's truth and God's definition of truth and love is coming with an intentionality rooted in the devil's work to rob your soul of eternal life or to rob you of the effectiveness of being used by God as his hands, his feet, his lips, and his fingertips. This is what God's word teaches. We went through 2 Peter, the last series. We called it Beware the Silver-Tongued Devils, because there are false prophets and false converts and false churches, as we saw in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9, false churches. They're not even churches. But they carry the banner. They hand out the card. They talk the talk and wave their Bible. God says that they are synagogues of Satan. So, I don't want to talk about that, Pastor Jeff. I just want to come in. I want to sing my songs. I want to get my donut. I want my kids to bring home something to put on the refrigerator. Tell me they had a nice time, and I want to be on the bay by noon. That's your choice. God's word says if that's your goal, you are probably in deep, deep trouble. And this week, I spent time bedside where people were getting ready for eternity. And I can't lead a church that's going to let people do that and walk away and pretend like it doesn't matter. You can do what you want to do, but I promise you, you will have truth ringing in your ears as you run away. And if you drop off the cliff and go into the pit, it will be with my fingernails embedded in your ankles. And if you call yourself a believer, you will hold to that same passion and zeal, not because this church says so, but because God's word says so. And that's the example that we have from Christ himself, who went on a cross and said, if you're going to be my church, if you're going to represent me, then you will pick up your crosses daily and you will surrender self to the cause of Christ. It's a war out there. I want to show you another video that depicts this war. And at the risk of over-repetition, those of you that call the bridge home, you'll be very familiar with this one. Don't ever get so familiar that you turn your mind's eye or your heart's off to it, because this is the picture of spiritual warfare right where we live.
Dark ones came, stole my mind, wrapped my soul in chains. Now I live among the dead, fighting voices in my head, hoping someone hears me crying in the night and carries me away. Set me we finds me crying in the rain. All alone with my demons I am. Who is this man that comes my way? The dark ones shriek, they scream his name. Is this the one they set me free?
The truth of the matter is, in this spiritual warfare and in the battle, you can be set free. I want you to hear what God's Word tells us in John 8, 32 and 36. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. The truth is that this battle has already been won for the believers. And I have to tell you, whether you're comfortable with it or not, the sad reality is if you reject Christ, you have no hope. You have no hope. You are a victim, and there is nothing that will save you. Listen to what God says in 1 John 4:4. Dear children, speaking to those who have accepted Christ, dear children, you, the born again, are from God and have overcome them. We have a ministry here called Overcomers, because we can set people free with the truth of Christ. Not us, but He who lives in us. And we're surrounded by a world that wants to tell people that there is no hope, that there is no freedom, that the best you can do is commiserate with others. The truth of God's Word is, in this battle you can be set free. Why? Because greater is He who is in you, born again believer, than he, Satan, who is in the world. Now, I tell you this because it's time for us to shift the posture and the perspective on spiritual warfare. I told you, we say that word and most people assume a defensive posture. I say spiritual warfare, you talk about being attacked. I say spiritual warfare and people think, oh, it's been a hard week. There's another side to spiritual warfare. When you have been set free, now you become a disciple of the risen King. And let me tell you something. If you understand your birthright, you don't back down to anyone. You don't play defense anymore. A disciple of Christ lives on offense. This battle is ours. Don't buy the lie that you belong buried down in the bunker. Let me show you one quick 90-second perspective on what it is to be set free, to be a disciple of Christ, and to have a forevermore changed outlook on spiritual warfare. You are not a victim if you are a child of God. You are a victor in Christ. We are disciples of the risen King.
I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. I am a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. I'm finished with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, pain visions, mundane talking, and dwarf goals. I don't have to be right, first, top, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, live by prayer, labor by power. My faith is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, or negotiate at the table of the enemy. I won't give up, shut up, let up, until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go until He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me.
If you're accustomed to thinking of spiritual warfare and assuming a defensive posture, I want that to change here and now. If you will accept Christ as Lord and Savior, if you will be a true disciple of the risen King, then you will join Him in His mission. Listen to what God's Word says in 1 John 3:8. The Son of God, Jesus, appeared for the purpose, this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. You don't do that on defense. You don't do that hanging out in the bunker. You don't do that by not getting dirty. This is a war. Go back to the first introductory video. If you think of church and spiritual warfare as something that doesn't really apply to you, if you think you can go through life in some kind of a spiritual bubble, you don't get it. And chances are the only reason why you're clean is because you're way back in a prisoner of war camp and you don't know it. We've been called to join Christ in rescuing the lost from the darkness, going after prisoners of war. As Christ came for us, we are to go as servants to help others. Listen, God's Word makes it painfully clear. If you're a Christian, this is where you belong. And this idea of spiritual warfare, yeah, it's going to come right across your living room. It's going to come right into your lap. It's going to interfere with your kids. It's going to interfere with your job. It's going to affect how they think of you in the neighborhood. But this is who you are as a child of God. Amen. And if it doesn't, then you're not. If it doesn't, then you're not. Not my words, God's words. You have been forewarned, which is to say that you have been forearmed. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, Satan may not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. We know what is going on. The question is, will you pull your head up out of the sand and get on the battlefield? We know what is going on. How do we fight as Christians? With our hearts wide open, with spiritual weapons given by God Himself. Listen here again, 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the flesh or of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power in our weapons to demolish strongholds. I need you to leave here understanding today that if you are not a Christian, you have no hope and you have no strength in this fight. And if somebody is telling you that their gospel, their help, their weapons, their tools, this lifestyle, these habits, this belief system, this will help, it's a lie. It's a placebo. It will either do absolutely no good, or what good you think it does is going to come from an empty mind that's tricking itself, or the demons are going to actually be oppressing you. If you are not a child of God, there is no place to turn. and you will represent the carnage on the battlefield. If you are a child of God, hear me carefully. You are not out of this fight. On the contrary, you have been called to put yourself right in the middle of it. And depending upon your commitment to Christ, you will be drawn into it. I need you to understand that this spiritual battle happens even with the believers. Most of those who have come to Christ here at the Bridge recognize it gets harder, not easier. We talk about it in one of my men's groups, that once somebody gets baptized, we men of this group need to pray fervently for those people. Because oftentimes, even though I tell them the truth, people think, wow, now I'm a child of God. Finally, I'm in. They don't realize the attack is going to come. I want to show you another video that depicts the reality of having come to Christ. And then because we leave a door of sin open. Understand this, folks. Listen, if you have sin in your life that you know and you wink at, if you're putting an open door in front of Satan, he will come in. His minions will come in. Are you still prideful? Are you arrogant? Are you flirting with pornography? Have you decided to just be religious and not get in a relationship with Christ? Are you liking Jesus but not loving him? Are you working so much to get ahead in the world that you're losing the battle in your home? It could look any one of a million ways. What I need you to understand is that when the world gets you, when the devil gets you, when your flesh gets you, there's still one answer, one truth, one promise. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. The truth, Jesus the Christ, can set you free. If you're somebody sitting here today or within the sound of my voice and you know what it was to come to Christ, but you somehow surrendered to a sin and you now feel like you're too bad that you can't come back, that God won't welcome you back, that's a lie. And I want you to see how this plays out. And yet again, the promise that when you live on offense, all you need is the King. And victory is yours. Thank you.
can I stand here with you and not be moved by you? But you tell me, how could it be any better than this? 'Cause you're
Can you tell me how it could be any better than this? It's important that we understand that whoever you are, biblical, Christian, or somebody that the Bible would describe as lost, a child of Satan, the battle is real and it will continue no matter who you are, whether you realize it or not. The distinctive is this. The battles rage on for everyone. Those who reject the biblical Christ and the gospel and do not believe with a biblical belief will lose the war. We will all battle. But those without Christ lose the war. Those of us who know Jesus, Jesus the Christ, the Savior, will battle like there's no tomorrow, but we will battle in peace and on offense, knowing that while the battle rages on, the war is already won. I want to share one more piece with you. Because I want to bring yet another facet of biblical truth and love. I want to ask you, when you think about spiritual warfare, if you were one who was relegated to just a defensive posture, if now I pray as a child of God, if you have embraced Christ as Lord and Savior, you now see that you no longer live on defense, but on offense. That you understand the fight is not an option, it is a command. Listen here again as God speaks in 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19. Paul now speaking to Timothy, a command that we can take as believers. This command I entrust to you. This command I entrust. This is of value. I'm entrusting this to you. This command, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. This is a command that I entrust to you. Holding on to faith and a good conscience. Listen very carefully if you're somebody that likes to hang out on the fence. Listen very carefully if you like to live on the fence. Verse 19. This command I entrust to you, fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. You think you can flirt with this truth? You think you can walk with one foot on each side of the fence? Know this, God's word says that there are those that have tried and they have shipwrecked their faith. I want you to know that you have to pick a side in this battle. And if you are a double agent, you will get shot from both sides. You must pick a side in this fight. Jesus said, you are either for me or you are against me. You either help me to gather or you are scattering. You cannot live on the Mason-Dixon line and pretend to be friends with everybody. Jesus says, you must pick a side. And if you think you're going to be the one who's good enough to walk the razor's edge, listen again, 1 Timothy 1:19. Some have rejected this absolute truth and so have shipwrecked their faith. Say, Pastor Jeff, another intense bummer. Why you got to do that? It's truth and love. And whether you believe the math or not, 2 + 2 = 4. And every other attempt at math is wrong, bad math. Let me tell you the last facet that I doubt many of us have ever considered. When we talk about spiritual warfare, most of us tend to assume a defensive posture. I pray you see that under the promise of God and the call of God on every believer, that is to change and you are to live on offense. I ask you if you've ever thought of the beauty of the battlefield. Have you ever thought of the beauty of the battlefield? If you are a child of God, I want you to know something. As real as it is, as tough as it is, the battlefield of spiritual warfare is one of the most beautiful places you could ever be. With bombs going off and bullets and carnage, absolutely. What did you see at the cross? Is that something ugly or is that something beautiful? When we live on the front lines of spiritual warfare, I want you to understand that you've been commanded to come to a place where it is absolutely beautiful. For you see, when you keep that defensive posture, you assume the negative, you see the half empty portion of the glass. I would say this to you, that if you embrace God's word, you will see it as half full. And that half full glass is absolutely beautiful. I want to show it to you in one more way. This is where lives change. It's on the battlefield where lives change. And if you understand that, and if you're spiritually attuned to what's really going on, you will have an intense offense. And you will have a beautifully, divinely intensified awareness of the beauty that can be seen on the front lines of spiritual warfare. Let me show this to you as a way to bring this full circle.
What would be my cardboard testimony in the kingdom of heaven to those? This is what my testimony is.
Change happens on the battlefield.
Jealous for me, Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us so. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. Oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us so. Eyes with grace is an ocean we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way.
Oh!
after three times, it just wouldn't be as emotional. I said, I have a question for you. What if we're your welcoming committee in the kingdom of heaven? What if because of how you use your resources, this is who welcomes you into the eternal dwellings? I believe Jesus is very serious about this, and every one of you could write your cardboard testimony. There is no doubt. But the biggest lie Satan wants to sell us is, oh, they don't need, he doesn't need my money, that church doesn't need this, we don't. It's not what we're to worry about. What we're to concern ourselves with is, God, are you changing lives powerfully? And where can I invest? And wherever we receive our spiritual nourishment, our own local church home that we attend or are members of, that's where we invest. What if when you get to the kingdom of heaven, this is your welcoming committee? Let's pray.
It's my prayer that we will be a welcoming committee. That we, brown shoes and flip-flops, all of us, works in progress with before stories, what we lived on the battlefield before Jesus is no longer our truth. God's word tells us that in Romans 8:37, we have been made more than conquerors through Christ in us. That in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If you understand battlefield truth, biblical perspective on the battlefield of spiritual warfare, if you're not a believer, you have no hope. You will be a statistic. And I love you enough to tell you. And I give that to you with an extended hand of God's grace, saying, please don't surrender. Come to Christ. He died for your sins for the express purpose of extending this gift of grace to say, please don't lose the war. If you're a child of God, a true biblical, surrendered, cross-carrying, selfless, truth-telling servant, slave to the Master who is the Christ, then get off defense and get in the game. Get out of the bunker. Come out where the battle is and start surrendering yourself to saving souls and being used by the King. And if you are out on the battlefield, look around and see the beauty that is the truth of transformed lives. That is biblical perspective on spiritual warfare. That those of us who know Christ as Lord and Savior can say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. If that truth is not yours, reality is grim and it will get worse. If he who is in you is the one who is greater than he who is in the world, we live on offense on a beautiful battlefield where lives are being transformed every day. Would you pray with me? Lord, we come to you recognizing the reality of the war, recognizing our call to surrender our lives that we would be soldiers, discipled warriors with you and for you. Lord, let our zeal never overshadow our love, our humility, our empathy. We are passionate followers of Jesus the Christ, willing to die on the battlefield, but never with a bullhorn. Always with a loving hand, extending truth in love, that for which the battle rages. Lord, I pray that nobody will ever be the same after hearing your truth and seeing some very gifted people display it through media. That this would not be another Sunday on a calendar, but that today would represent a place where you changed us forever. Whether it was to bring us into the family, to inspire us to mature, or to equip us to head further into the front lines. We love you. We thank you. We worship you. And we say, as Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen.